Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Trish reading the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Tuesday, October 27th, 2020. Business: housing prices in Midland continue to favor sellers, by Stuart Doreen. The Midland County housing market showed year-over-year gains across the board in September, according to data from the Texas A&M Real Estate Center. In terms of price, the market continued to be a seller's market, as the average price of a home sold increased by more than $34,000 compared to September of 2019. And the median price for a home sold during the month jumped by $9,000. And while inventory has also climbed, the Real Estate Center showed again that there hasn't been much of a negative impact when it comes to price. The average price topped the $350,000 mark for the third straight month, for only the second time in the history of the center's reporting. It also was the third straight month that the median price hit $300,000 or more. The number of homes sold inside Midland County in September, 226, also was higher than September of 2019, 217. It was the fourth straight month home sales in a month topped 200. Inventory continues to be a bright spot for buyers. There were more than 250 extra homes on the market at the end of the month compared to September of 2019. The center showed there were 856 homes available, which is a four-month supply. The median price again showed a strength in the Midland market that isn't replicated elsewhere in West Texas. Ector County has the second highest median price at $237,215 of any larger population county. Others included Tom Green at $220,000, Randall at $217,500, Taylor $205,000, Lubbock $198,870, and El Paso $182,950. Midland's median price for a home sold in September also was higher than Bear, Dallas, and Harris and Tarrant counties, according to the Real Estate Center. Travis County, Austin, was again tops around the state with the $420,000 median price for a home sold. Midland report in September: homes sold, 226, dollar volume, $80.72 million. Average sale price, $355,177. Median sale price, $305,000. Homes on the market, 856. And inventory, 4 months. In September of 2019, homes sold was 217. Dollar volume was $69.643 million. Average sale price, $320,939. Median sale price, $296,000. Homes on the market, 593. Inventory, 2.5 months. Education: potential lawsuit against MISD board members appears rare, by Stuart Doreen. Estuarine at HurstMP.com. An effort by the group Save Lee Rebels to remove 5 members of the MISD Board of Trustees by lawsuit, if it comes to fruition, would be a first for many in Midland to experience. The group, which came into the public eye during the name change for Robert E. Lee High School, stated this weekend it will seek to remove 5 members of the MISD board. District 1's James Fuller, District 2's Robert Marquez, District 4's John Kennedy, District 5's John Trischetti III, and District 6's Rick Davis because of gross misconduct. The group held a petition drive this weekend that allowed for those that wanting to support Save Lee Rebels to sign a petition, donate to a legal fund, and get information on candidates supported by our community for their commitments to transparency and their constituents. The petition does not call for the removal of District 3's Tommy Bishop and District 7's Brian Murray. Both voted against the name change from Robert E. Lee High School to Legacy High School during a board meeting earlier this month. Jay Lynn Wilson of Save Lee Rebels told the Midland Reporter-Telegram through email this weekend that the group's attorney advised that there is a need for veteran board members to remain to work with the superintendent. Therefore, we went with Murray because he has consistently voted against that board and in favor of constituents. And Bishop, as he has been holding town hall meetings with his district and is showing a tendency toward favoring his constituents. Bishop did vote in favor of changing the name of Robert E. Lee High School during a July meeting. The Reporter-Telegram did not attend the weekend event and attempts to arrange a call with Save Lee Rebels board president Carrie McNeil through Wilson were unsuccessful. Midland ISD attorney Sid Pound said the process that Save Lee Rebels is seeking to undertake is rare. He said he has reviewed a similar case from the Brownsville area, but that is the lone case so far. School district officials in Chapter 87 of Texas Local Government Code provides more detail. It appears that section state general grounds for removal include incompetency, misconduct, or intoxication on or off duty caused by drinking. The case would be in a Midland County District Court, and a jury would then decide on the board members or members' removal. Either party to a removal action may appeal the final judgment to the Court of Appeals in the manner provided for civil cases. Pound said it is his understanding that it is a high standard to remove a board member under these claims, and that this action is usually for serious violations of the law or something that everyone would view as misconduct. He said board members have a legal right to make decisions. He also said that in this case, Save Lee Rebels would be bringing suit against individual board members and not the district. Therefore, they would be required to find their own legal counsel. He said he didn't know whether the Texas Association of School Boards would provide legal counsel if needed for those board members who are sued. Wilson recognized that the group was seeking to bring a lawsuit against Kennedy, who is set to come off the board in January. She also said they would start the process against Fuller and Marquez, even though they are in races for their respective seats, and could lose in November and therefore be off the board in January also. Pound said he couldn't imagine that this process would go so quickly that Kennedy would face a lawsuit while still on the board, and the same would be true for Fuller or Marquez if they were to lose on November 3rd. In speaking with the attorney, this is more about the golf course / other inconsistencies, nothing about the name change, Wilson wrote. Carrie can explain further. Agencies help the homeless during cold weather. Helping the homeless in harsh conditions. We want to help the homeless when the weather conditions turn cold. The following is a list of agencies that are helping those who are in need of shelter. Salvation Army and Breaking Bread, contact robert.coriston, C-O-R-I-S-T-O-N, at usssalvationarmy.org. Contact Mary, M-A-R-I, at breakingbreadkitchen.org. Information. The Salvation Army shelter is open for overnight guests as usual. It isn't staffed to remain open during the day, but Breaking Bread will be open for people to hang out during the day, and there is a shuttle between Breaking Bread and the Salvation Army shelter. Breaking Bread will continue to provide breakfast and warm gear through their mobile truck and dinners at the kitchen. The nonprofit is also raising money to purchase sleeping bags to distribute to those on the street. Backyard Midland. Contact 349-0981. Information. Backyard Midland is also taking warm clothing and sleeping bag donations. To avoid duplication of services, the Field's Edge is not taking donations of clothing or gear and instead is referring those in need to these three agencies. Driving conditions. Winter weather conditions are forecast across most of the Texas Department of Transportation's 12-county Odessa district through Wednesday afternoon. The National Weather Service says there is a possibility of ice and snow accumulations in the area. The Odessa district will be pre-treating the main lanes of Interstate 20 and Interstate 10 in an effort to limit accumulations of ice and snow. Other key roads, such as State Highway 191, Loop 250, Loop 338, and Business Interstate 20, will also be treated as resources allow. Crews will be on shift to work to address trouble stop spots overnight as well. It's impossible to treat all roads, and motorists should drive as if a road has not been treated. It is advisable that motorists double their commute times. Bridges often ice over faster than other roads. Shady spots take longer to thaw. Basic driving tips for winter weather. Clear all snow and ice from vehicle windows. Slow down. Speed limits are meant for optimal driving conditions. Winter driving requires adapting to existing conditions. Allow more room to stop. It is always possible that hitting ice will lengthen stopping distance. Allow more room between you and other vehicles. Do not use your cruise control. If you start to skid, take your foot off the gas and steer where you want to go. Never slam on the brakes. Make sure your vehicle is maintained properly. Also in the weather news, MISD cancels Tuesday classes, voting centers to be closed, by Mary Dearin. Midland ISD has canceled all classes, including MISD Online Academy for today, and closed all campuses and facilities because of the expected inclement weather. According to a press release from the district, the superintendent search community meetings planned for today also are canceled. A district spokesman said that the meetings will be rescheduled. In the event of winter weather, the decision to cancel school is made the night before a potential closure. This allows students, parents, and employees the ability to plan ahead instead of waiting for an early morning decision. MISD has consulted with area weather and road experts and has determined that the threat of winter precipitation poses a risk to drivers. Also closed today are the early voting centers. Elections Administrator Carolyn Graves told the Reporter-Telegram in an email, "The only reason we would open would be if the storm misses us and there is no snow or ice." Other cancellations announced as of press time on Monday: Greenwood ISD, Midland Christian School, Hillcrest School, Trinity School, Midland College in person, University of Texas Permian Basin in person, Midland County offices, including both library branches, the city's drive-through water bill payment, trash collection, and the landfill will have a delayed start of 10 a.m., and the West Texas Food Bank has rescheduled Midland's facilities drive-through pantry to 1 to 3 Thursday and canceled Kids Learning Kitchen. Single-day cases topped 200 in Midland for first time from staff reports. For the first time during the COVID-19 pandemic, the Midland Health Department reported 200 or more new cases in one day. The Health Department on Monday reported 232 new cases. According to the city, those cases are reflective of lab results from Thursday and Friday. Monday's report also is the sixth straight that the Health Department has reported 100 or more cases, continuing the longest triple-digit stretch during the pandemic. It also puts this week well ahead of the pace set last week as far as total numbers of cases. The health department reported 106 on Monday of last week. The health department also reported 1,974 active cases, an increase of 191 compared to Friday, 2,885 recoveries, an increase of 31. The total number of cases during the pandemic broke the 5,000 mark on Monday, jumping to 5,211. El Paso imposes curfew as virus cases overwhelm hospitals, Associated Press. El Paso. Residents in the Texas border city of El Paso have been urged to stay home for 2 weeks as a spike in coronavirus cases overwhelms hospitals, prompting the state to dedicate part of the city's civic center as a makeshift care center for the ill. El Paso County Judge Ricardo Samaniego on Sunday night issued a stay-at-home order with a daily curfew from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. Violators could be fined $500 under the order, but the curfew does not apply to people who are going to and from work or out for essential services, including grocery stores and health care. "We are in a crisis stage," said Samaniego, the county's top elected official. On Monday, the county reported a new record high in daily cases, with 1,443 cases of the virus recorded. That breaks the daily record of 1,216 cases set Saturday. The county had 853 patients hospitalized for the virus on Monday, up from 786 a day earlier. Earlier Sunday, Texas Governor Greg Abbott said 50 hospital beds would be set up in the convention center and another 50 beds could be added if needed. Abbott ordered the alternate care site to expand hospital capacity in the El Paso area in response to the coronavirus surge. The site, scheduled to open this week, will provide additional medical equipment and medical personnel. Dr. David Persay, chief medical officer for the city of Houston, on Monday said at a press conference they have been coordinating with state officials to move patients from El Paso and potentially Amarillo, Lubbock, and the Rio Grande Valley to Dallas, Austin, San Antonio, and Houston. He was told Saturday that they could get 2 to 4 patients a day who, added that he was unaware whether they had already received patients. This plan is in place. The connections have been made. At this point, it looks like the volume of patients to be moved will be very, very small, and we will hope it stays that way. The surge in El Paso cases comes as President Donald Trump downplayed the virus's effect on Texas, saying during last week's presidential debate, there was a very big spike in Texas and now it's gone. The state has already provided over 900 medical personnel to El Paso, some of whom will be staffing the convention center site. The alternate care site and auxiliary medical units will reduce the strain on hospitals in El Paso as we contain the spread of COVID-19 in the region. As of Monday, Texas has reported a total of 867,075 virus cases statewide since the pandemic began, an increase of 4,700 from Sunday. The true number of cases in the state is likely higher because many people haven't been tested, and studies suggest people can be infected and not feel sick.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, October 27, 2020. Foreman awarded. Christine Foreman has received the Heroes for Children Award for Region 15 of the State Board of Education. The board established the award in 1994 to recognize individuals who demonstrate excellence in advocacy for education, according to a press release from the Midland Education Foundation. Foreman volunteered more than 1,000 hours in support of Midland ISD. Foundation Director Anita Gamersfelter said in the release, "This year's recipients were honored virtually at the SBOE's September meeting. Region 15 encompasses more than 70 West Texas counties." Early voting canceled for today. Early voting centers for the November 3 general election are to be closed today because of the expected inclement weather. Centers will reopen Wednesday. The schedule for the remaining of early voting. County Annex, 2110 North A Street. Wednesday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Calvary Assembly of God, 908 Johnston Street. MCPL Centennial Branch, 2503 West Loop, 250 North. Fairmont Park Church of Christ, 3818 North Midland Drive. St. Paul's Methodist Church, 4501 Thomason Drive. Wednesday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Thursday and Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Early voting totals. Monday, not available as of press time. Sunday, 917. Saturday, 2,516. Friday, 3,374. Thursday, 2,865. Wednesday, 3,160. October 20, 3,612. October 19, 3,509. October 16, 3,780. October 15, 3,399. October 14, 3,330. October 13, 3,259. Mail-in ballots, 2,996. Total, 36,720. Gas prices. Midland Odessa gas prices have risen 1.7 cents per gallon in the past week, averaging $1.98 a gallon Monday, according to Gas Buddy's daily survey of 156 stations. Gas prices in Midland Odessa are 9.8 cents per gallon higher than a month ago and stand 37.6 cents per gallon lower than a year ago. The following are gasoline prices in Midland Odessa on October 26, going back 10 years. 2019, $2.35 a gallon. 2018, $3 a gallon. 2017, $2.43 a gallon. 2016, $2.07 a gallon. 2015, $1.96 a gallon. 2014, $2.95 a gallon. 2013, $3.14 a gallon. 2012, $3.55 a gallon. 2011, $3.43 a gallon. 2010, $2.70 a gallon. Source, GasBuddy.com. Farmers Market invites kids in costume. Midland Downtown Farmers Market will be operating 8 to 11 a.m. Saturday at the Museum of the Southwest. Shoppers are encouraged to bring kids and pets in costume. Face masks and social distancing are required. GSDSW hosting virtual recruitment. Girl Scouts of the Desert Southwest will be hosting online robot building recruitment parties. Girls in grades 4 through 12 can join the online party any Thursday through November 19. Girls in kindergarten through 3rd grade can join the online party any Tuesday through November 24. The parties begin at 7 p.m. Central Time. To attend the parties, go to www.gsdsw.org, click on Robot Building Party, and RSVP today. Girls will receive a Zoom link to join in the party, according to a press release. Girls can join virtual troop meetings for free and join a troop in person at a later date, according to the release. For more information, visit the website. FBCU raising funds for High Sky. First Basin Credit Union is hosting a donation drive to benefit High Sky Children's Ranch. Funds donated by First Basin and members of the public will be used to purchase Christmas gifts for High Sky youth, according to a press release from the credit union. Donations will be accepted through November 13 at FBCU, 3316 North Midland Drive. Today in History. Today's Tuesday, October 27, the 301st day of 2020. There are 65 days left in the year. On this date, in 1941, the Chicago Daily Tribune dismissed the possibility of war with Japan, editorializing, "She cannot attack us. That is a military impossibility. Even our base at Hawaii is beyond the effective striking power of her fleet." In 1962, during the Cuban Missile Crisis, a U-2 reconnaissance aircraft was shot down while flying over Cuba, killing the pilot, U.S. Air Force Major Rudolf Anderson, Jr.
So obituaries for October 27th, 2020. Joel R. Torres. Joel R. Torres, 60, of Midland, Texas, passed away on the morning of October 18th, 2020, in Mexico. Memorial services will be held on Tuesday, October 27th, 2020, at 6 p.m. Services will be held in Midland at San Miguel Archangel Catholic Church, with Father Patrick Akpanobong officiating. Joel will be laid to rest in his hometown of Zimapan, Hidalgo, Mexico, alongside his wife and his son. Joel is survived by his son, Daniel Z. Torres, and wife, Crystal, brothers and sisters, Luis, Jose Cruz, Antonio, Guillermo, Cecilia, Manuel, Javier, and Rosalva, his parents, Crescencio Torres Olguin, and Felipa Ramirez Hernandez, both of Zimapan, Hidalgo, Mexico. Grandchildren, Katana, Alex, Matthew, Michael, and Ariana. The family of Joel wishes to extend thanks to Father Patrick, San Miguel Archangel Catholic Church, and the Martinez Funeral Home. Death notices. Esther A. Ochoa. Esther A. Ochoa, 91, of Midland, passed away Saturday, October 24th. Viewing will be at Heavenly Gate Funeral Home and Chapel at 405 North Terrell on Tuesday, October 27th, from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Wednesday, October 28th, from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. with rosaries starting at 7 p.m. Tuesday and Wednesday evening. Funeral service is set for Thursday, October 29th at 10 a.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish and Shrine. Burial will follow at Fairview. She is survived by 6 sons: Victor Ochoa, Juan Ochoa, Larry Ochoa, Charlie Ochoa, Arnulfo Ochoa, and Adolfo Ochoa. 2 sisters, Norma Cervantes and Esmeralda Coronado. Nina Willis. Nina Willis, 79, of Midland, passed away October 24th, 2020. The family will receive guests from 5 to 7 p.m. Thursday, November 5th at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home in Midland. A celebration of life will be held at 2 p.m. Friday, November 6th at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Survivors include children Robbie McBride, Paula Morrison, and Pam Kirby. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at npwelch.com. Pedro Gomez Tavares, Jr. Pedro Gomez Tavares Jr., 71, of Midland, Texas, passed away Friday, October 23rd. A viewing will be Tuesday, October 27th from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. with a prayer service starting at 7 p.m. Tuesday evening at the Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Chapel. The funeral service is set for Wednesday, October 28th, 2020 at 2 p.m. in the chapel. He is survived by his wife, Benita Tavares, two sons, Billy Joe Tavares and Gabriel Tavares. Two daughters, Arminda Tavares Navarrete and Amy Tavares Went. One brother, three sisters, seven grandchildren, and four great-grandchildren.
Hello, this is Cindy reading from the Odessa American for Tuesday, October 27th. DA's office revamp on agenda. Gallivan seeks to combine county and district attorney's offices. Hector County Commissioners today will consider a resolution asking the Texas Legislature in Austin to create a criminal district attorney's office here, merging the district attorney's and county attorney's offices. Having suggested the move August 4th, County Attorney Dusty Gallivan said Monday that a substantial increase in felony and misdemeanor cases had prompted his proposal. Having the felonies in one office and the misdemeanors in another is inefficient, he said. Most defendants don't commit just a felony or just a misdemeanor. They usually have a combination of them. Gallivan has served as county attorney since 2014, and he is running unopposed in next Tuesday's election to succeed Bobby Bland, who didn't seek re-election as district attorney. Gallivan's chief assistant, Greg Barber, is running unopposed for county attorney, and Barber has agreed to become Gallivan's chief assistant in the criminal district attorney's office if the county attorney's office is abolished and a criminal DA's office established, Gallivan said, adding that the changeover would probably go into effect either on September 1st or October next year. The two offices would basically stay the same, but some positions would go away, he said. We wouldn't need two receptionists or two office managers, for example, he said. Gallivan said that if there were a problem with getting the necessary legislation through the Texas Legislature in Austin and signed into law by the governor, the county would still have the option of combining the offices by their agreement and the agreement of the commissioner's court. He said the Midland County criminal justice system operates under such agreements. Buoy Teacher Making Impact by Ruth Campbell. Having earned a degree in government and politics from University of Texas at Dallas, Sheena Salcedo thought she would go into something in government, politics, being part of a political action committee, or possibly working for a lobbying group. Through the Texas Teach Plus Fellowship, Salcedo, an 8th grade social studies teacher at Buoy Middle School, will have a chance to channel her inner wonk. Her students are all virtual this year. Teach Plus is a national nonprofit that empowers teachers to lead improvements in policy and practice, launched two new fellowships for the 2020-21 school year. The 29 Texas Policy Fellows teach across the state and hail from cities across Texas, including Houston, San Antonio, El Paso, and Austin, while the 21 DFW Policy Fellows teach in schools across the Dallas-Fort Worth area. The fellows will focus on a range of issues of importance to Texas teachers, students, and parents, including education finance and teacher preparation, and focus on the COVID-19 response and the teaching and learning during the pandemic. Salcedo said you have to be a classroom teacher. Although she had a policy-making government advocacy bent, Salcedo said she felt a pull toward education. I felt like I got a great education here in Odessa, but I realized that we could do better and I felt prepared for school. But I spoke to lots of my classmates who didn't feel that same preparedness, Salcedo said. She wondered what the common denominator was because they all went to the same school. Then I realized that we really focus on our top percentage of students, and those are the kids that get the most attention. The kids that I want to serve are the ones who don't. I really want to reach the kids that fall into that gap underneath. I think that's really important, and policy is what directly affects those kids without strong support systems at home, the kids that need the extra finances in their local schools, Those are the kids who are really impacted by policymaking decisions. So that's something that drew me back to the classroom, Salcedo said. The selection process for the Texas Teach Plus Fellowship involves a written application with 5 essay questions and a group interview where teachers are given a scenario that they have to work out with the group. Based on their performance in the group, they are selected for an individual interview. The applicants are pared down from hundreds to, she believes, about 50 this year. They teach us to advocate for education policies. We write op-eds that are published statewide, but some have even been published nationwide. We have spoken and been a part of meetings with U.S. Senator John Cornyn's office. We will be in meetings in the State House. We've actually been called to testify for education policy. We advocate for pro-education policies, so it's just giving teachers the opportunity to really have a seat at the table and be a part of the policy-making process, Salcedo said. Salcedo said she was encouraged to apply by a close friend who is a teacher in the DFW area. She said her friend told her there had never been a fellow from Ector County ISD or this area before. She thought that the oil field and the community we have here in Odessa would lend a really important voice that was often being overlooked. Education policies tend to focus on big urban areas, and we tend to be left out of those conversations because we're not big, but we're not small. We kind of fall through the cracks a lot of times, so she thought my perspective on this community would be a really important voice to have in the fellowship. Being accepted, Salcedo said, was an honor. The fellowship lasts for the school year. I've always felt that I really advocated for my students and for this community. I deeply believe in public schools. I think that it's so important to make sure our school system is strong, so I've always been doing that in my entire career. And now I have the ability to be around other like-minded teachers who have their foot in the door, Salcedo said. We can advocate to the school board all we want, but this is affecting real change in the House and further up the line. So what a great opportunity to really make impactful changes for my colleagues, and specifically for our students, she added. A native Odessan, Salcedo graduated from Odessa High School in 2003 and went to what is now Ector College Prep Success Academy for middle school. She has tried to encourage colleagues to try new things. I really want to build a better community for our students here in Odessa. I think they deserve it. I think we don't give them enough credit for what they're capable of doing. We have some amazing students that are here. They just need to be nurtured. It's interesting to be in that same community, but it's exciting to be able to do kind of spark some fire and kind of encourage that older mindset of teacher to try to be new and innovative and try to light some fires for people, just being passionate about changing things, making things work for each student. She said the program is currently focusing on teacher prep programs. I'm an alternative certification teacher, so I didn't graduate with a teaching degree. I went back and finished that on an emergency basis. So I understand the prep program. We know what it does and doesn't do to prepare you for the classroom. So knowing those things, we can affect those changes and really speak on a personal level about how these decisions really directly affect kids, Salcedo said. I wanted to say that I felt prepared to be in the classroom, but I didn't, and here's a great opportunity to really change that in the future and maybe not lose so many teachers, she added. Many teachers leave in the 1 to 5 year range. Salcedo is in her 6th year of teaching. I'm in the bubble for sure. I have friends that started with me on this campus that are no longer teachers. I haven't been in the classroom that long, and so how do you tell someone you can do it when people around you are getting burned out? And it's completely understandable to be burned out. But how do we prepare them better? How do we, as a state, create better policy so that it doesn't happen in the future? How do we build strong teachers who want to stay in the communities that they're from or the communities that need them the most and keep them from getting poached by larger, wealthier districts? Keeping teachers in Odessa is a unique problem, she said. Specifically, how do we keep not just warm bodies here, but warm bodies who want to learn and to grow and to support our kids? That's what I'm really passionate about with this fellowship, and it opens to the doors to do that, Salcedo added. Salcedo and her husband, Joe Acosta, have four children, ranging in age from 3 to 9. She noted that she has gotten a lot of support from her husband and her children. Bowie Principal Paul Fulci said Salcedo will be a great advocate for Bowie and all Texas students. Any opportunity that helps educators get involved outside of the classroom to help drive change inside the classroom is wonderful. We are so lucky to have teachers who want to both continue to build their expertise in the classroom as well as the public forum. Education policy is key to student success, so having actual educators advocate is a powerful way to help keep us moving forward for students, Fulci said in a text message. Basin Set for Freezing Temps by Michael Merlot. The Permian Basin is projected to see a stint of cold weather for the next 48 hours, with potential for snow around southeast New Mexico, and the potential for an ice storm around eastern parts of the Permian Basin. National Weather Service meteorologist Matt Salerno said that temperatures in the Permian Basin are 20 to 30 degrees below normal, with Monday's high around 36 to 38 degrees. That's what we're expecting for the next couple of days, Salerno said, adding that with the potential of temperatures reaching a low of 27 degrees Monday night, roads could be slick on today as the temperature is projected to stay below freezing. All this cold air has just been built up from north of us. We have a lot of snow that fell from like Montana down to the Front Range of the Rockies, and that cold air has just come all the way down, tunneled down through Canada. It's the Arctic air mass. This could be some of the coldest temperatures we've ever seen, actually, in October. With drizzle already starting in Ector County, temperatures were reportedly going to drastically decrease after sunset on Monday. Temperatures will stay below freezing into early Tuesday morning, he said. During this period, we're expecting kind of a light freezing rain to occur, and all that freezing rain, and potentially some sleet as well, will freeze on surfaces, mainly elevated surfaces and overpasses. That's what we're most concerned with right now across the Permian Basin. Commuters should be aware of serious ice patches on roads Tuesday morning, he said. Salerno said that there is also potential for an ice storm, a quarter an inch of ice from Midland to Big Spring, Snyder, as far as La Mesa. Commuters should be aware of serious patches on roads Tuesday morning, he said. TxDOT Odessa District Public Information Officer Gene Powell said in a phone interview that they were out Monday treating the roads and addressing problem roads. Obviously, we can't be on every road. We can't treat every road. Neither can the city, neither can the county. We'll hit our priority roads, he said. We'll need the traveling public to slow down and drive the conditions. Powell said TxDOT will treat all the interstate main lanes with brine water to help prevent accumulation of ice, including State Highway 191 and the two loops in Midland and Odessa. Problem areas just kind of depend on where the precipitation falls, or if it falls. We know that bridges will freeze over fastest, he added. No matter how much we try to prevent, people need to act as if we haven't been out there at all, because all it takes is a small patch of ice to lose control, he said. Powell said they'll do what they can with limited resources and limited people. If you're not comfortable driving in this stuff, don't drive in it and slow down. The OPD asked the public in a news release to be extra careful if traveling Monday through Wednesday. Please use extra caution if you must travel on Interstate 20, Highway 80, and Highway 191. If people have to travel, they should reduce speeds and maintain a safe distance from other vehicles, which would allow enough time to stop in case of an emergency. Drive with your headlights on and use extra caution when approaching all intersections and when traveling over bridges. Avoid using cruise control and ease off the gas pedals or brakes if you start to skid. While the cold weather may be chilling, Salerno said that conditions will heat up around Thursday to make for a warmer weekend. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County total cases, both confirmed and probable, 6,246. Ector County negative, 25,594, out of 32,200 tested with 360 pending. 117 deaths. Recovered, 5,100. Active, 1,029. ECISD daily cases, 9 students, 6 staff. Midland County, 4,979 confirmed cases with 92 deaths. Texas, 867,075 confirmed with 7,809,150 tested. Total Texas deaths, 17,514. U.S. cases, 8,947,243 total confirmed and 230,906 deaths. Find out more at co.ector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us. Quick hits. Have you voted? Early voting continues through October 30th. The Ector County Courthouse Annex, 1010 East 8th Street, room 104. Early voting hours are scheduled from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. through Friday. 4 other voting locations will take place from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. through Wednesday and 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Thursday through Friday at Kellis Turner Community Building, 2230 Sycamore Drive. Westlake Hardware Store, 4652 East University Boulevard. The Globe Theater at Odessa College, 2308 Shakespeare Road and Salinas Community Building, 600 West Clement Street. For sample ballots or more information, call 498-4030 or visit www.co.ector.tx.us/page/actor.elections. City Going Back to Virtual by Federico Martinez. Renewed concerns about the spread of COVID-19 is prompting Odessa City Council to return to virtual meetings and halting recently restarted in-person meetings at City Hall. The community can participate in the 6 p.m. Tuesday council meeting via the internet at www.webex.com and follow the directions. The meeting access code is 126-506-5834. Residents also have the option of listening to the meeting by phone at 1-408-418-9388. The council has decided to return to virtual meetings for the immediate future because they are concerned about our residents' safety, Devin Sanchez, the city's director of communications, said. The numbers are going up again. Ector County medical professionals have reported a rise of COVID-19 related hospitalizations in recent weeks. As of Monday, there have been 6,025 COVID-19 cases confirmed in Ector County and 115 deaths, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The council is expected to pass several expenditures on Tuesday, including the allocation of $1 million in Coronavirus Aid, Relief and Economic Security Act, CARES Act funds. The allocation is part of a partnership between the City of Odessa, Medical Health Systems, and Odessa Regional Medical Center for the operation and administration of community-wide COVID-19 testing and flu shot vaccinations, City Manager Michael Marrero explained during the Council's October 20th work session. The partnership will provide funding for free COVID-19 testing and flu shot vaccinations for the community through December 30th. Council is also expected to pass a resolution to accept and appropriate a $10,000 donation from Chevron to Odessa Fire Rescue and purchase $135,000 worth of holiday decorations for Starbright Village. Decorations will include the purchase of 2 spherical trees, which will be placed at the entrance of the convention center, as well as 1 new display for Starlight Village. Steve Patton, the city's director of Parks and Recreation, explained to council last week. Assistant City Manager Philip Arusia said that while Starbright Village was originally going to be a drive-through type event, we're going to open a walk-through portion of the Christmas decoration. However, we are going to post signs encouraging social distancing and masks to be worn, and we're also going to widen the trail to allow individuals to space out more. Economic Impact of the Arts in Odessa by Randy Hamm. 2020 has brought an economic downturn to our community, unlike any we have ever seen. Our community leaders restart discussions on ways to diversify our economy. The theory is simple. The greater number of industries in Odessa, the less likely we are to suffer through the uncertainty of a volatile energy market. No industry is going to replace petroleum here in West Texas, but the more diversity we have in our workforce, the less strain it puts on our community when oil prices drop. The arts sector is a viable choice when it comes to economic diversification. Arts sector funding at the municipal level does not come from sales tax or property tax. It comes from hotel occupancy tax, which is not paid by residents. Hotel occupancy tax can only be allocated for programs and events that promote cultural tourism and have a direct effect on hotels. However, this investment has a far-reaching economic impact. In 2019, Odessa Arts, partnered with Americans for the Arts, conducted a study of the economic impact of the arts sector in Odessa. The findings of this report were incredibly eye-opening. In that year, $700,000 of hotel occupancy tax was invested by the city for the arts sector. This generated over $6 million in economic activity for the city. That's a return of 850%. $276,000 in local tax revenue, $332,000 in state tax revenue, and $4,311,000 in resident household income. The arts sector supports over 200 full-time equivalent jobs as well. That's 200 people buying groceries, paying on a mortgage, and paying utilities. They send their children to school here. They shop in our stores. They pay student loans. And they eat at our residence. By the basin? You can't get more local than buying a ticket at the Permian Playhouse or shopping at the Ellen Newell Art Museum gift shop. As for cultural tourism, people who travel to Odessa to attend a cultural event spend an average of $79.22 per person per day when they are in Odessa versus $27.30 for residents. People who travel here from Andrews, Pecos, Monahans, and surrounding communities will stay longer and spend more money when there are cultural events to attend. Having a robust arts sector is also critical to workforce recruitment and retention. People want to move to and put down roots in communities that offer a high quality of life. That includes live music, theater, exhibits, and performing arts. One-third of Odessa's workforce is classified as itinerant. These are the workers who come in, make some money, and leave our community when the economy collapses. More of them will stay when they have a reason. Families will relocate when they know there is a strong arts education program in place. To me, ECISD has one of the best fine arts programs in the state. Don't just take my word for it. Look at the numerous awards our students receive every year. The collateral benefit is that our community members get to enjoy the same events and exhibits that are targeted at our out-of-town visitors. Local News Roundup. Free COVID-19 testing. The City of Odessa, in partnership with the University of Texas Permian Basin, has scheduled free mobile COVID-19 testing events at the following times, dates, and locations. Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., Slater Park Parking Lot, 1001 West 38th Street. November 4th, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., Central Park, East 13th Street Parking Lot. November 18th, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., Ratliff Stadium Parking Lot, 1862 East Yukon Road. Only 200 tests will be administered at each event for Odessa and Ector County residents. First come, first serve. Residents must show proof of residency. Participants must remain in their vehicle with the window up until a testing team member approaches you. No appointment or pre-registration required. Children as young as 3 years old are eligible for testing. For more information, call 557 6557. The Wagner Newell Performing Arts Center is hosting Cinema Under the Stars. The Halloween double feature is Hocus Pocus at 8 p.m. and at 11 p.m., the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Both are on Thursday. Free popcorn will be provided by Complex Community Federal Credit Union. Partial proceeds from the Rocky Horror Picture Show will benefit the Ham Hocks of Midland Community Theater. There will be a costume contest. Costumes must depict the movies being shown. Movie-themed specialty cocktails, free popcorn while supplies last, a photo booth, and prop bags available to purchase for use during the Rocky Horror screening. For additional guidelines, visit WagnerNewell.com. Face masks that cover your nose and mouth are required to be worn at all times while in the venue for guests ages 10 or older, unless you are actively eating or drinking. Tickets for Cinema Under the Stars are $5, and each movie will be sold separately with assigned seating to allow for social distancing. You can purchase tickets for each movie screening and will have to choose your seats each time, meaning it will be first come, first served, and having the same seats for each movie is not guaranteed. Death notices from the Odessa American for Tuesday. Raymond A. Dominguez, 84, of Odessa, died Wednesday, October 21st, in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 1 p.m. on Friday, October 30th, at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home of Odessa. Rogelio Garcia, 64, died Friday, October 23rd, in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Eddie Luna Lara, 53, of Odessa, died Saturday, October 10th, in Midland. Celebration of life is scheduled for 4 p.m. Thursday, October 29th, at Martinez Funeral Home Chapel. Burial will be on Tuesday, November 3rd at 9 a.m. at Ector County Cemetery, the Rose Hill section. Pastor Eva Arevalo is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Abel Gomez Lavario, 66, of Odessa, died Friday, October 23rd in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. Friday, October 30th at Acres West 24-Hour Funeral Chapel. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Guadalupe Moreno Smith, 84, of Odessa, died Saturday, October 24th in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 11 a.m. Thursday, October 29th at St. Mary's Catholic Church. Rosary precedes the Mass at 10 a.m. Father Bernard Gettigan is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Monday, October 26, 2020. This is the oil page. This article is entitled, Refineries Are Feeling the Pinch Caused by Coronavirus. Analysis by Laura Hurst and Kevin Crowley, Bloomberg. 6 months on from the crude's era-defining price crash, and big oil is suffering from whiplash. Prices may have stabilized around $40 a barrel as OPEC Plus curbed supply. But as the coronavirus surges through Europe once again, the twin safety nets for majors in previous downturns, refining and trading, have come under severe pressure as consumers stay home. Refining margins are absolutely terrible, Patrick Pouin, Total SE's chief executive officer, said early this month. The French major, along with a raft of other oil companies and refiners, have warned investors that slumping margins will be a drag on profits. For some, like ExxonMobil Corporation, it might even push them into the red. The third quarter will provide little respite to the super majors, with three out of the five expected to post losses. Trading, which brought the European firms a torrent of cash last quarter, is unlikely to save the day this time around. But will there be any glimmers of hope for the end of the year? BP kicks off earnings seasons on Tuesday, followed by Italy's Eni Spa on Wednesday. Royal Dutch Shell will announce results on Thursday, while Total, Exxon, and Chevron Corporation will do so on Friday. Here are five themes that delve into what the quarter might bring for big oil. While oil prices have stabilized from the historic lows seen in the second quarter, travel restrictions, local lockdowns, and a growing second wave of COVID-19 has put a lid on oil consumption in many parts of Europe. The hit to demand has produced a growing list of refiners to post negative margins, meaning they lost money when turning crude oil into consumable refined products like gasoline, in some cases for the first time. Earlier this month, Total reported a negative European refining margin of minus $2.70 a ton. Barclays analysts subsequently lowered expectations for lower earnings from the company in the second quarter. The main source of difference to our expectations was in the downstream, where the reference refining margin fell below zero for the first time we can remember, analyst Lydia Rainforth wrote in a research report. Shell warned of significantly lower margins compared with the second quarter, while Exxon also flagged deteriorating performance at its network of global refineries. This weakening will reduce earnings by as much as $600 million, likely causing a third consecutive quarterly loss, the company said in a filing report this month. And it's not just big oil. Smaller refiners are feeling the pinch. On the Iberian Peninsula, Repsol SA and Galp Energia have reported refining has becoming increasingly uneconomic. Further east, MOL Hungarian Oil and Gas PLC reduced its earning projections for the full year after margins fell below zero from mid-May. Italy's Saras Spa said it would run its Sarac refinery in Sardinia at a minimum after refining margins sharpened during the third quarter. The plant, one of Europe's largest, is geared toward the production of jet fuel and diesel, where the slump in profits per barrel has been most severe. Virtually every aspect of big oil's business, from the pump to upstream production, was pummeled in the second quarter, save one area, oil trading. A windfall from the division saved Shell, Total, and Equinor ASA from posting losses. For BP, it was the one bright spot in an otherwise dismal period. While majors don't disclose how much money trading units bring in, executives acknowledged it had been an extraordinary quarter. Total's Puan said it made about $500 million more than the usual. For Shell, it was, quote, the best on record, unquote, while for BP, the unit delivered an, quote, exceptionally strong result, unquote. Traders at the firms had benefited from wild volatility, and in particular, small so-called contango plays. The trade involved buying cheap crude, storing it, and locking in a profit by selling it at higher prices in the future on the derivatives market. Contango and volatility have since eased, meaning the divisions are unlikely to replicate the success. Shell warned that the unit's performance will be below average in the third quarter. U.S. rivals Exxon and Chevron, for the most part, steer clear of pure trading. Exxon did a modest trading operation 2 years ago, but the supermajors division bucked the trend last quarter, having experienced unfavorable derivative impacts in its trading division. The first half of the year brought disappointing news to income seekers. Shell cut its dividend for the first time since World War II in April, while BP followed suit in August. Before the cut, the companies were respectively the first and third biggest dividend players on London's FTSE 100 index. While Total has managed to keep its payout untouched, American peers Eni Spa and Equinor ASA went for a cut. Across the Atlantic, Chevron and Exxon have repeatedly told investors that keeping the dividend is a priority. Yet, Exxon has failed to generate enough cash to pay for its dividend and capital spending for each of the last 8 quarters, putting the quarterly payout, the third highest in the S&P 500 index, under severe pressure. Executives have vowed to find additional cost savings to defend the payout, but investors are not convinced. The stock's dividend yield is currently over 10%, indicating that a cut is imminent. Investors have been given plenty of warning that the brunt of COVID-19's impact on liquid natural gas trading is only hitting balance sheets now. The largest LNG producers typically sell under long-term contracts that are linked to oil prices. These usually have a lag of 3 to 6 months. Shell, the world's largest LNG trader, is expecting a significant impact on LNG margins in the third quarter. About 80% of its term sales this year are linked to oil and have a price lag of up to 6 months, it said in a trading update. Chevron, too, is likely to be impacted by LNG pricing delays. The company, which has a large LNG presence in Australia, sells most of its production through oil-linked long-term contracts. Brent's crash in April has now made long-term contracts cheaper than spot LNG deals, where prices in contrast surged in past weeks amid higher demand in Asia and supply issues at a number of producing plants. In addition to price and demand issues, Chevron and Shell have been struggling with technical problems at their multi-billion LNG facilities, Gorgon and Prelude, in Australia. America's shale patch entered full-blown merger mode this month with a series of multi-billion dollar deals aimed at cutting costs and scaling up operations in a fragmented and beleaguered industry. What role the majors play in the shakeup, if any, remains front and center of investors' minds. Chevron is the only integrated oil company to participate so far this year, with a $5 billion purchase of Noble Energy Inc. completed in early October, and it has the financial resources to strike again. Exxon is cash-strapped, while investing in shale oil would jar with some European companies' strategies of pivoting toward renewables. Still, opportunities abound, with sellers agreeing to takeovers at modest premiums.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.